The Social Geeks is a Spike Studio production. It's The Social Geeks, episode number 28, Me, You, and Squeaky. For August 18th, 2010, myself, Caleb, and some MIAs talk all about the hottest news, including the new Facebook places. Did you just say, oh, well?
Yeah.
Everybody, welcome back. It's The Social Geeks, episode 28. We have MIA. It's an alert. We have MIA. But Caleb has shown up from the West Coast, sir.
Hello. I am here from San Francisco.
San Fran is here. Sarah said, send her a text and tell her and remind her we did. And I'm presuming she is babyified and passed out at this
Probably.
Point. We know that Corvita's busy.
Yep.
Something to do with something. She does work, apparently. Wayne said he'd be here, and he's still showing he's mobile. And we don't know where Jeff is. We haven't talked to Jeff this week. We hope everything's well with him. But off we go. We've got a list, but it's a good one. Some of this is hot off the press, and I will say,
breaking news.
Once again, Kick Post was on top of it.
Yes,
were on top of it. So everyone knows Kick Post. Caleb actually, is one of the founders. Or I don't know if you're the only, but one of the founders, let's say.
Yep.
Does trending things and pulls them to the top for you, and does it much cleaner than any other site.
Thank you.
Unbelievably so. And the good news is that you had the big Facebook story up first.
We did, yes. So Facebook has just announced at a private event at their Palo Alto campus that they are going to do places. So the same way that you can upload photos or create events, you'll now be able to tell everyone you know on Facebook where you are.
500 million people telling you where they are. Mm-hmm. I think we've just exceeded anything possibly that the other services could do.
Yeah. So I wrote about this like 7 months ago, saying that I thought Facebook should acquire Foursquare, and that hasn't happened. Foursquare has continued to grow. But the main thing was that Facebook's whole goal is to get people to share more information. And it seemed to me that the last big piece of social data that they didn't have was where I was. Like they got me to tell them what I was thinking. They got them to show me with photos where I was going in terms of events. And now they want to know where I am. So what they're doing is they're with their standard sort of Facebookification of features. The main selling point is that you can actually tag people that you're with at a location. So if you and I were at an In-N-Out Burger, Chris, I could check in from the iPhone app, the Facebook iPhone app, and I could tag that you are there with me, and then that would go to my wall, and everyone could comment on it or like it. So, yeah, it's a very simple implementation. They're going to have a read API so other services could access my places data, and a limited set of partners actually have write access, so they could publish on your behalf. And they had some of the guys from Foursquare and Gowalla were at the event. So it looks like they're trying to actually partner with these guys and play nice. So I'm excited to get it on my phone.
Well, now up front, it's only the iPhone app and then the web interface, right? Touch.facebook.com.
Yep. So and only U.S.
Really? That I didn't read yet. Only U.S.?
Yes. Yeah, so that'll limit the Facebook says about 70% of their users are outside the U.S., so that would probably put it at about, just under 400, 200 million people would have access or less.
And some of their proximity, they're saying, is a little off currently. You're able to check into places nearby, not necessarily where you're sitting directly.
Right.
People here now this got, and we linked this story in, the ACLU up in arms about the tagging of who you're with. So you brought that up. We're sitting there and you can say, oh, Chris is here with me. The ACLU jumped in, and we already put the article in the show notes. Check this out before you check in. Talking about the privacy, the world of Facebook places, no, is unfortunately not an option, is the way they're set to write this. It was an interesting article talking about how you can say not now, but never say no when Facebook makes it easy to check in, basically letting you tag people, much like the pictures, that they're there with you and not have a restriction to not allow yourself to be tagged. So they've given another link to a huge privacy setting just for places. They actually wrote a whole page as of today about Facebook places and then your privacy settings. So that's a big concern if you can tag me and say I'm at a place that I don't want people to know I'm at.
Right. And with the photos, it's not quite so bad because the photo's already up there, and it doesn't really reveal too much information beyond, you know, that someone could like take action against you, right? And you can go in and untag yourself. But I think Facebook is keenly aware of the privacy issues related to this. And I think that because they're making it opt-in in terms of, you know, on the iPhone app and on the web, whether or not like you even want to see the feature, I think they'll try and handle it well. Clearly, there will be people who are concerned about it, but Facebook has always pushed the boundary. And I always just think back to when the news feed launched in 2006, and people went nuts that it was a total invasion of privacy. And now I really couldn't imagine using Facebook without it. And I think the majority of users find that to be a super useful feature. So I'm not sure if this will be a killer feature for Facebook, but I think it will certainly be a useful feature, and it's a smart addition, right? Facebook just keeps plowing through the things that make sense for their service. So
I think it's
good for them.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be killer. The last part of the privacy I read finally, how they're working it. So you select me to check in.
Right.
I can say allow check-ins, which gives every one of my friends the chance to do it permanently unless I go and make changes to privacy. Or I can say not now, which prevents the current check-in. But if we go to the next place or you come back and try to check me in again, I get a prompt again and have to say not now again. There's never a no. And the other part was, is that your chair?
Sorry.
The social WD-40.
We'll fix that in post.
Or I'm sure we'll edit that out. I'll actually heighten that so it's louder, probably.
Okay.
The other part was the here now can only be turned on or off, not limited to certain people. So you can see everybody that's checked in at a place, even if they're not your friend, unless they totally turn off that feature. I can't restrict it to only certain people.
Mm.
So once
That's the same way that Foursquare is, right? Like you can see who's there even if they're not your friend.
It depends on their privacy settings, actually. I think Foursquare put more granular controls in, and Facebook will probably do it. But for now, people need to be aware that you're opening yourself up. And I think they have a chance to overtake, even though they partnered with, and this is why we're hoping Wayne would get on, because they partnered with Gowalla and Foursquare to get some of the places, I believe, they've already established.
Right.
The location data. But the ability of 500 million users eventually being able to check in everywhere far exceeds any of the other services. Everyone already has Facebook Mobile on their phones.
Yep.
So you've moved to a point where they could easily overtake these other services just because they already have more users that use it every day for everything. I see people at the stores constantly on their phones looking at Facebook and freaking out if they can't connect because there's no data signals.
Right. Yeah, no, I think they will certainly get a massive amount of usage the moment this rolls out to the App Store. And the other interesting thing about it is that sort of compulsion when you go somewhere to launch Foursquare or Gowalla and launch the app, when you check in, you're done. You have nothing else to do in those apps. In Facebook, you open it up to check in, and then, oh, I'm going to look at my newsfeed, and, oh, John just uploaded some new photos. Let me go take a look at those. Oh, and someone just sent me a message. It's a great Trojan horse to get people to open the app even more. It's not a problem that Facebook generally has, right? Like 50% of their people already use it every single day, but it's just another way on the mobile apps to increase that. But I mean, I think that if you think about a company like Booyah, which produces that My Town, which is like a game, the Monopoly check-in service, it's really not about the check-in for them as much as it is for the game. And you've heard Foursquare already talk about how they want to improve more game mechanics and move past the check-in. And Gowalla is much more about having the collectible pins and things. So these guys have clearly known Facebook's been working on it. Facebook said on stage that they'd been working on it for about 8 months already. These guys were involved. So I think that there's still a place for Foursquare and Gowalla, certainly. Just the same way that Facebook Messages hasn't replaced email, I don't think that it's necessarily the case that Facebook Places will replace these other guys. But I think it will certainly force them to find out what's more interesting than just checking in.
Definitely. And I think that you're also going to find the advertisers being able to target you based upon where you start checking in, knowing more about your location they previously knew, knowing where you haunt, you know, the city, bars, restaurants, where you shop, where you go.
Yep.
And really going after you with, you know, sidebars and recommendations and coupons and advertisements and, oh, hey, your friend Caleb loves to go In-N-Out Burger. Why don't you take a coupon and go there too and join him and check in, you know, on Facebook places? What a selling point.
I like that idea, right? I would love to have more of those instead of ads that say single guys meet ladies, right? Like, that's the ad I see the most on Facebook right now. So if I could get a coupon In-N-Out Burger or Starbucks or any of these places, I would love that. I would be totally open with them knowing that I go to Starbucks a lot, and I would love to get a coupon. So
how many times have you clicked the ad, Caleb? That's all we want to know. So many,
very, very few times.
How many times have you clicked?
They get me every once in a while when they change up that stock photo of some pretty girl, but
you just fall for it. You say, hey, this is somebody I know.
I fall for it. I'm like, oh, she knows me. But then I realize it's an ad.
It's an ad. Even though it says your friend may have checked in at that same location.
I will. Yes, then check into this girl.
Now, not to make this a Facebook show, one other story, though, about them, we might as well just finish them off easy, is they're suggesting of text as you start typing in, predictive text in a sense. And I've heard now and read it's case sensitive, which is good if you want to type someone's name instead of the word that starts with that. But being able to start typing and have Facebook actually suggest what you're trying to type based upon things you're connected to. So,
yes, I mean, I think this is wise, right? Like they've had a pretty concerted effort in the past few months to roll out like the pages and interests more. And I don't really remember, like I don't go into those very often. I'm a fan of a couple of bands and a couple of areas, but I never go to those pages. So if I were to write out a band name and then it suggested it to me in the status wall poster or whatever, that's smart. I think it's a nice incremental feature. It'll help increase usage. And it's just Facebook clicking away. Like they've got 400 or 500 employees now, maybe more. And they've got a lot of people thinking about how to make Facebook better.
Well, it'll help link the pages together a little bit better as well. It'll help bring all that as to one thing. How often do you talk about a page when you're typing something out? Now that you see it popping up in front of you, you're more apt to say, oh, yeah. Like the example in the article we have from ReadWriteWeb has the band Weezer. And as soon as they start typing we, it pops up as a friend of theirs as well as the band.
Yeah.
You know, trying to guess. It's an interesting approach. I think you'll see a lot more expansion on that, though, too. As soon as they say, well, we're going to hook to more of what you liked, more about your friends. It's like some of the Twitter clients that actually, as soon as you start typing your name, it automatically fills in for me. Same idea.
Yeah. I mean, you can imagine. I see a lot of people do. Sorry, that was my chair again. We see a lot of people putting status messages of what they're watching on TV, a new band they found, a cool YouTube video. And it would be much better if those were automatically linked up so then I could click on it and find out instead of having to do a Google search.
Well, let's talk about the TV thing. Let's jump tracks. Are you using Git Glue?
No.
Okay.
No.
So Glue, and they released their Android client, which just came out 2 days ago. Their Android client went gold, is a way to check in on what you're watching on TV and then have a commonality community around the show.
I thought that was a company called Miso.
No, it's a different one.
Oh, Git Glue, got two.
Look it up. Git Glue did an Android launch. They've already had the web-based client. They've already had it. I think it was an iPhone client. I was part of the beta for the Android. And the ability to check in and then have a community based around who's watching a show at that exact moment in time, no matter where you are.
Can you talk with them? Chat?
I don't think there's chat. Now you've got me thinking.
What are they like? I don't understand. What's the point? Like a check in and then
I think you can
I watch
online.
That show.
I'm not sure about the. I think you're asked about the mobile. I think online you can have conversation about the show, but on your mobile, I have to look at the app. And right now is not the time for me to go grab my.
No, please don't.
My Evo.
Stay with me. Stay with me, Chris.
It's just it's me, you, and the squeak.
Yes. Yes. Hey, do you know that show, the talk show with Dan Benjamin? And have you heard of that show yet?
No.
It's really cool. It's with John Gruber and Dan Benjamin. I don't know. I just thought about it because it's just these two guys. Dan Benjamin does a whole bunch of really cool podcasts. And John Gruber, obviously, of Daring Fireball fame. He's the guy behind Daring Fireball. Anyways, they're just two guys chatting about tech news and stuff. So they kind of reminded me of what we're doing right now.
Except, do they have a squeak?
No, they don't have a squeak. They're very professional. I'm not as professional.
So, yeah, Git Glue is out there. I just threw it out there. So the other big one the last 2 days is Twificiency.
No, that's a can of worms there.
It's a quick can of worms, though. 17 years old, has already written other apps, decides to play with OAuth, which is what everyone Twitter's pushing people to, is the OAuth, instead of username and password capture, and writes a great script and even catches people as high up as, how high was she in Twitter herself?
Well, they had Marissa Mayer.
Marissa.
Got fooled from Google.
Not fooled. She just didn't read the fine print.
Yes.
It was there. And Twitter stated, yes, it was there. It was in very tiny print. And they've now, quote, worked with the developer to make a more prominent opt-out box, and they've re-enabled. They actually cut them off, and now as of today, they've re-enabled the service for this kid. So it was supposed to what? Just review how many people you follow, followers, whatever it is, and give an efficiency score, which she got a zero. She got a zero for it.
Sorry. Well, she probably doesn't use it very much. It's probably a corporate memo that says Googlers are not supposed to use it, and it'd be pretty bad if she used it a lot. Anyways, I have no idea what this service really even did. No. And they sort of got scarred by this. I would never use them anymore. So not a good idea to default it to post to people's tweets, especially nowadays where people are very cautious of that.
It's not even him. He's 17. It's one kid.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't trying to be malicious, but like, it seems like that's a pretty common thing now. If people want to share, they can figure it out. It shouldn't do it for them. Yeah. Unless they opt in. I think it's an opt-in type thing.
Yeah, I don't think he was. I don't think he was going for it. I think he was, like he truly said, I'm trying to test OAuth, and oops, I let it by default be enabled, and oops, I want everyone to see the score, and oops, I made it so tiny in like 3 font that no one really noticed.
Yep. Yeah, it's great. He got so many people to use it. That's kind of cool. Oh. That's a massive feat on its own.
Exactly, and it shows that he's writing tools, and he's written other apps. I don't know if it was Facebook or iPhone apps, but he's written other applications, and that's a surefire way to get your name.
That's true.
Recognized and noticed.
Yep.
Now you threw the last one up there, not the last story, but the one we were talking about before is the Android's Pursuit. This big long book.
Yeah.
That's so, all you. Go for it.
Yeah, there was a really cool post.
It's a book.
Yeah. And
a Simco,
yeah. It'll be in the show notes, I suppose. Yes. And what's very cool about it is there's been a lot of press recently about, oh, Android, they're selling more phones than iPhone. Now Android OS is growing by leaps and bounds. And this guy sort of broke it down and said, okay, you know, ultimately the cell phone industry is going to be about economics, right? And Google can make the OS free. But if the carriers aren't making a profit, they won't stay in business. The carriers, but also mainly the cell phone manufacturers, if the cell phone manufacturers can't make a profit, they will not really be able to be viable businesses. So he wanted to see, since the iPhone's been introduced, what's happened to the profits in the mobile arena. So he looked at some of the top 10, I think it was, mobile phone manufacturers, Nokia, RIM, Apple, a couple others,
Sony, Ericsson, LG.
Yeah, Motorola. And he sort of did an analysis and saw that over time, since the iPhone's been launched, Nokia has really sort of eaten everyone's, has had their milkshake drunk by Apple. RIM has grown a fair amount. But the other guys, the HTCs and Motorola's and all them, haven't grown that much their profits. So while they may be selling more smartphones on Android, they're not becoming more profitable companies. But Apple is. Apple ships 3% of the units, but makes up 48% of the profit. I mean, that's just a staggering, staggering number. Because if Apple could sell 4% at the same price, they'd be able to gobble up even more of the profits. And I think that's the big thing, is that Apple focuses on profits, not on market share. And market share means nothing if it doesn't help you grow as a company and as a business. And so I think that's really important to note. Google making Android free is great, but if HTC and Motorola and all these guys are just competing with a price race to the bottom, in the end, they won't be able to make it.
Can we relate this to the 3G launch, looking at the chart where they were really small? Apple was at first 0.2, 0.2, 0.2, and then they jumped into the 1.7, 1.3.
Yeah.
About the Q3 of 2008. Was that around the Apple?
Yeah.
iPhone 3G?
Yeah, the 3G, and also when they switched from the full retail price to the subsidized price.
Right.
Right. The phone, when I bought my first iPhone, it was $800. I returned it because it was too expensive and I didn't really use it that much. But now it's $200 or $99. But that's the subsidized price. Apple gets another $400 or $500 from AT&T. Yeah. So they're killing it. They're killing it.
Well, we'll do the other phone story about it before we take a break. We'll take our break first. Then we'll tell the other phone story. We'll talk about RIM and the Torch launch after we do that. But we have to tell everybody about our big sponsor, GoDaddy. They've been with us for a while now. they have actually come back and renewed their codes with us. So they've changed them. Yeah, well, we had previous codes. They've actually expanded and renewed their codes with us, which is impressive to say. It's a good thing to go. So you can still get a domain at a discount. You can still take $5 off your large orders. But now you can also get a discount on SSL services from them, as well as some discounts on their bundles. So GoDaddy has given us new codes, plus two new ones. Real easy to do. Go through the show notes. Click on the link. Use the code when you check out is all you have to do. It doesn't get you anything but a cost savings to you, but it helps keep our show growing as we go, because the more of you that listen, the more bandwidth we eat up. It's pretty much the way that works. We found out it's a kind of a linear graph. Once you look at it, the more of you go, but we run our domains. I have numerous domains hosted through GoDaddy. Do you have any on GoDaddy?
Yeah, I just bought some new ones actually.
Did you use our code?
I tried to, it didn't work.
Not for you. Oh, it was the old codes. You probably use the old ones. See, we
just switched. Yeah, probably didn't. Yeah,
those expired out. We have new codes for everybody. So it's also a bundle pricing and also an SSL discount code as well. So if you're looking to
use those.
Oh, yeah. If you're looking to get a new domain, I'm telling you, there's no better way to do it. GoDaddy, the largest provider for registrars. And I personally use them too. So that's why we keep them around as a host, because we actually use them.
I actually used them to transfer some domains to them from an old host, and it happened in like a day. It was very smooth. It worked well.
Yeah, and you can do podcast hosting for those of you who want to do it. They have a little podcast system. You can do loose file hosting, but more importantly, they have a central management screen for all your domains. It lets you do advanced tools, or if you're a newbie, they really have a simplified approach where you can kind of hide all the advanced stuff and just put in a couple quick, you know, point and click things. But for the big DNS people, you know, dig down deep to set up everything from mail routing to where you want different parts of their host to go. I do it on the I Do Notes stuff and the social networker. You can do whatever you want. The tools are there and they're ready to go. So show notes, you can get your domains at a discount. You can get pricing off of bundles. You can get SSL and everything else.
Nice. So one other thing before we jump back into the tech stories. I was thinking it'd be kind of cool if we ran a little, you know, recruitment effort, you might say, with the people who listen, because I would love to get one or two of you guys or gals who listen to the show who feel like you've got some opinions about the stories we talk about, who'd want to maybe be on the show with us. So I think it'd be awesome if you think you might want to do that, to send us an email. A little info about yourself, maybe a link to your Twitter profile, your LinkedIn, you know, just so we can see that you're legit, right? And find a time to get you on one of the next shows, because I know I listen to a lot of podcasts and I wish I could go on to them and sort of chat with them and let them know what I think, because I don't really have that opportunity to do that with those guys. So I thought it'd be cool if we could do that. We've got lots and thousands of listeners, so there's got to be a couple cool people in there we could have on the show.
And if they're not, we could make them cool by participating with the show.
We could train them. Yeah. Boot camp. Podcast boot camp.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. So if you want to do it, you have a couple choices. Did you give an address or anything?
I did not. I'm going to leave that up to you, Chris. You're the coordinator.
No problem. I'll handle it. Social@thesocialgeeks.com is one way to do it. Or you can call us. 3-2 Oh, I got it. Okay, yeah. And I know it sounds crazy. I screwed up, but I want to say it right. 3-2-3-4-5 geeks. So I know the number, but I just want to say it right. 3-2-3-4-5 geeks. Yes, it's Google Voice, but rings through as if we're available, as well as transcribes for us. So you can either call or you can send an email to social@thesocialgeeks.com, and we will get right to you. That's a good point. We've done that before. We've had Alan Lepofsky from Social Text on. He's joined us, and we've talked to Mark Krinsky a couple times, but his schedule is terrible. Oh, and we do have a special guest we're lining up, by the way. Should I tell you now, or should we just?
Why don't you tell us now? I hate the tease.
Tracy Lee, Dish Crawl,
nice
out there in your neck of the woods, actually, San Francisco.
Nice.
She runs the big food crawl network out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so food is huge out here.
Food is huge, and she has exuberantly said yes, yes, yes.
Excellent. That'll be exciting.
It'll be very exciting. So everyone, that's how you reach us. So definitely, I'll put that in the notes as well.
Yeah, and definitely, like, sometimes when you hear these sorts of things, you're like, oh, there's going to be millions of people who enter. I'll never get it.
You're right.
Send it in. Just do it. Like, just send it in. Don't get scared. Please, just send it in.
Millions. There will be literally millions.
We will listen. We will listen to every one of the voicemails. We will read all the emails. So at the very least, you will know that our eyes make it, and we will probably look at your Twitter profile and we might follow you anyways. So
correct.
Give it a whirl.
And we have the Social Geeks has its own profile that actually brings together all of our different tweets, if there. Everyone didn't know that. So that's a good way to go.
I didn't know that even.
Yes, I did. The Social Geeks, yes. It's a little tool that does that. Okay, Rim.
All right, back to the stories.
We have to finish up with Rim. We kind of let him in. We teased him. But Rim, they launched the torch, and the flame went out.
The BlackBerry torch has been extinguished.
It went out, and it came up in a big blaze, so it's a touchscreen, slide-out keyboard, right?
Yes.
What else is cool about OS 6? It has it's the first BlackBerry with the new OS 6.
Yes.
And the reviews have been, eh. And the reviews of the actual hand, actually using the device, have been, eh. And 6 has been, eh. Everyone's been like, eh. And they only sold a very minute number of units compared to what they wanted to. And things are a little scary.
I wonder what they thought was going to happen, because the thing that was weird was a lot of people who were reviewing it said, you know, for a BlackBerry, it's pretty good. It's probably the best BlackBerry out there. But when you compare it to iPhone and Android, it doesn't, you know, cut the mustard. That's a pretty terrible spot to be in, right? Like, it's better than what you've made before, but it's not, you know, awesome. You got to go for awesome. And I don't know what they're doing. Like, they should just focus on the enterprise customers and keep serving them, because they've tried so many times to reach out to the consumers, and it doesn't seem like they're able to build something that resonates with people enough. I don't know what the problem is, but it's too bad. RIM is definitely a very cool company. They definitely understand messaging and have very robust systems. So maybe they should just focus on that more.
Well, let's look at what they did. They took the idea of the Storm, which I run a Storm until – oh, did I share this? I ran a Storm up until a week and a half ago when it was stolen.
Oh.
And literally in a matter of seconds, out to lunch, downtown St. Louis, lovely cafe, out on the street, eat there all the time. Phone must have fallen. The whole clip was just pushed off the belt or something and laid right there. Eat there all the time. Walk. They were cleaning the table. Get up, they finish cleaning the table, get about, I don't know, part with the block, realize it's gone, turn to come back, and the phone's gone.
Yikes.
Go to work, we get on the Bez server, we watch it on the network, we see where it is, it's within a block of where it was, and then it goes off, which means they probably powered it once, rebooted it, which we have security codes, and it was locked, but we could see it, and then I said, we're not going to get it, send the wipe command.
Self-destruct.
We sent the wipe command. We know it hit. The wipe started, meaning we physically just delete all the data on the device. The wipe started, and all of a sudden it said out of network, meaning they pulled the battery and the SIM card. So it totally went off the grid, and it's never shown up again. Only thing I lost is the media card, just with some pictures I hadn't uploaded or whatever. But otherwise, I got a Storm 2 now because I didn't want a torch. So I got a Storm 2. I don't want to wait for the 3. I don't have time. I'll get that later when it comes out. But the idea is the touchscreen that they offer us from before with the new OS 6. They say it's a little sluggish sometimes, mainly because it's a new OS. They don't have all the fix packs in. Then the slide-out keyboard to give you a full keyboard. I've become pretty adept at the on-screen keyboard here. Love the device. The video on it's great, but it's got the new browser. And that's one.
How's the browser?
Well, not the Storm 2. The Torch does. So it's got the new HTML5 stuff. It's supposed to be their new flagship device. The problem would be is that everyone is like, it's just okay. And the performance has been a little sluggish, and the response time's a little bad still with the touchscreen. I'm a little disappointed in the whole push that they had. And then I believe the number of units they sold is pretty weak, if I'm correct, right?
Yes.
So the reviews have been basically sucky overall. I only know one person that has it. I haven't physically seen it myself. We didn't get one, and anybody in our enterprise has one that I know of. Nobody that I talked to in the blogger circuits has one yet. And all the reviews online have just been really bland. So I think they hurt themselves with a launch like this.
Yes. I hope they can figure it out. I didn't see anything in there that would make me any feature that was exciting me. And I think that's not a good sign.
No, not at all.
Not even one.
Not what they're trying to launch. And by the way, so they're trying to launch App World 2.0, which is just better controls over billing and information. Really, I've got it loaded. I'm on the beta. It's nothing exciting. So App World 2, they still have a problem with their applications because there's just not a lot there.
Yeah.
The new OS is supposed to be good. The new versioning, the desktop manager has been updated to 6.